In your Bibles, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. As we continue in our series devoted to God's church, this morning we're going to be looking at being devoted to serving one another, of being devoted to serving one another in the family of God. Last week we looked at true worshipers, that true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And when we worship the Father, we will find that that devotion will spill out into serving one another in the body of Christ. And so we're going to look at that this morning from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Follow along as I read the Word of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word, and so, Father, we pray that we would be ready to receive your word into our hearts, that we would be ready to do your will as you reveal it to us this morning, that, Father, through your spirit, that you would speak through me to your people, that, Father, that we would turn away from the world, from the thinking of the world, and that we would turn to you, that we might devote ourselves to you and devote ourselves to one another. Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. When I was in college, I was a member of a Christian collegiate organization called the Baptist Student Union. The Southern Baptist calls it Baptist Collegiate Ministry today, but it was called the Baptist Student Union back then, and I was a member of this organization for 4 years while I was in college, and the campus minister of that organization, whenever you wanted to be a leader in that organization, if you desired a position or whatever it might be, he would say, okay, go clean the bathrooms. He would ask you to clean the bathrooms because, you see, he wasn't looking for someone who wanted a seat at the table, who wanted a position. He was looking for someone who was willing to serve, and so he wanted to see what their heart was. And, of course, no one likes cleaning bathrooms. And so that was his test to see if you had a heart to serve or whether you were just looking for a seat at the table. In the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, an argument had erupted among the disciples after James and John had asked Jesus to grant them to sit on his left hand and on his right hand. And so when the other disciples had heard them ask that question to Jesus, they became indignant. I think probably because they didn't think to ask Jesus that question first, but they became indignant. And this showed that the disciples, they had a desire for position and power and instead of having a heart to serve, they had a desire for position and power. And isn't that part of a sinful and prideful mindset, that we want position and power? So Jesus used this as an opportunity to teach them about service in the kingdom of God. And so in Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, he says, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." And then listen closely to what he says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Jesus, he came to serve and to save us. And he said that those who wanted to be great in the kingdom of God must also serve. To be first in the kingdom, he said, is to be slave of all. And Jesus demonstrated this very principle, this attitude, this service in John chapter 13 when he washed the disciples' feet in the upper room during the Passover. It was a mean and servile job that was often reserved for the lowest servant or slave in the household. And so he picked up a towel and he washed their feet. And after he was done washing their feet, in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 16, he said to them, "Do you not understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Now listen closely to verse 16. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Jesus here is saying, if he, our Lord and master, the King of the universe, served us, we then as his disciples must serve one another. And he has given us an example that there is nothing, nothing that is beneath our dignity in which we may be found of service to the glory of God and to the edification of fellow believers. In fact, this attitude of Jesus, this mindset, is beautifully portrayed in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, in that early church hymn that says about Jesus. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus, with the heart of a servant, saw what was needed and he served. He was willing to leave his position of power and privilege in order that he might serve us and save us. He was prepared and he did engage in the task of humility, walking in humility and being humiliated to serve us and to save us. He was willing to do whatever it took in order that he might be able to come and serve us and die on a cross for our sins. As Jesus surrendered himself to the service of the Father, he humbled himself and he became obedient even to the point of death on a cross. And so this is our example. We too must devote ourselves to the service of one another. In the same way that Jesus came not to be served but to serve, and the slave is not above the master, that we have the same attitude as Jesus. We have the same attitude that is in us. We are called to serve one another. Now, how do we get this mindset? How do we get this attitude towards service that was in Christ Jesus? I think our text this morning, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, helps us in that endeavor. It will show us three things. First of all, it will show us that we must daily devote ourselves to Christ. That we must daily devote ourselves to Christ. Secondly, that we must think rightly about our role in the body of Christ. That we must think rightly about our role in the body of Christ. And thirdly, we must serve selflessly because of the grace given us in the person of Jesus Christ. First, we see in our text in verse 1 that we must daily devote ourselves to Christ. That we must daily devote ourselves to Christ. Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And so the first thing we see here in daily devoting ourselves to Christ is that we must present ourselves to God because of the mercy that he has shown us, because of the mercy that he has given to us. And so Paul urges us, he exhorts us, not because of anything that we have done. We've not earned this grace, this mercy that God's given us. He exhorts us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. In other words, he's saying, consecrate yourselves, devote yourselves to God. That's what it means to present yourself as a living sacrifice. You're going to say, I'm living not for myself, but I'm living for you, God. And so you're giving yourself over to God. You're devoting yourself to God. And so he urges us, he exhorts us to present ourselves to God. And he does it because of the mercy of God. That's what he says. He says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. And so, again, it's not because God looked at us and said, wow, Darren, you're deserving of this, but it's because of his mercy and grace that he has poured out into our lives. In fact, Paul has spent the last 11 chapters in the book of Romans telling us about the mercies of God, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, of how we are saved by faith through grace, not because of anything we've done. That he's told us that the gospel is the power of salvation unto God for those who believe. He's told us that the bad news, first of all, in chapters 1 through 3, that all of us are sinners, that none of us do good, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said that in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. And so we see here that we were sinners in need of salvation. And in chapter 4, he tells us, and 5, he tells us about the grace of God, how God saved us through his grace, through faith, not of any works that we've done. And so he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this is the mercy of God. This is what he has done, that he has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so Paul here is saying, based on that mercy, based on the fact that God has forgiven you, that he has saved you, he's taken away your sin, he's justified you, and he's given you life in Christ, eternal life even, based on this mercy, he says, present yourself to God. Devote yourselves to him. And then he goes on, he says that this is to be holy, this living sacrifice that you're presenting yourself, that you're to be holy and acceptable to God. And so we're to present ourselves as holy and acceptable to God. Now, we've been redeemed. That's the truth, that God has poured out his grace in our lives. We've been redeemed. We've been declared holy and acceptable through Jesus Christ in the eyes of God. And yet Paul here is saying we're to present ourselves holy and acceptable before our holy and just God. And that means we don't devote our lives to doing that which isn't holy and acceptable to God, right? It means we're going to present ourselves to God to do that which is holy and acceptable in his eyes. And he says at the end of verse 1 there, he says, this is your spiritual worship. This is how you worship God, by presenting yourselves in devotion and consecration to God as holy and acceptable. He says, this is your true worship. Last week we talked about true worship, didn't we? In John chapter 4, that the Father is seeking true worshipers, those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And Paul here is saying, this is your true worship, when you present yourself to God, when you consecrate yourself, devote yourself. Basically, you're saying, here I am, God, use me. Here I am, God, I'm yours. Do with me as you will. I want to do your will in that. And he says, this is your worship. Other translations say it's your reasonable service. Another translation says it's your spiritual service of worship. And so the idea here is that we are serving God, we are worshiping God when we devote ourselves to him and consecrate ourselves to him. When we say, God, I'm yours, I'm willing to do whatever you would have me to do. Whatever your will is, I'm going to follow it. And so we see then that service in the family of God, the church, in the body of Christ, starts with first presenting ourselves to God to be used by him. And so if we're to devote ourselves to serving one another, we have to present ourselves to God to be used by him however we will. We can't say, I'll serve God, I'll serve the body, I'll serve one another, but this is how I want to do it, right? I saw that when I was a campus minister. I saw that one time we were on a mission trip and we were staying at a place that we kept locked because of the location of the city we're in. And someone knocked on the door and I went to the door and kind of opened it up a little. And they're like, can you help us get some, can you give us some gas money? Because we ran out of gas in our vehicle and so on. And I said, sure. And so I locked the door behind me and I said, okay, follow me to the gas station and I'll buy a gas can and fill up with gas and give it to you. The person left. They were gone, right? Because they wanted help, but they wanted help their way, right? And we do that to God. We say, God, I'll serve you, but this is how I want to serve you. Right here, you know, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do this. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to devote ourselves to him, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to him, to say to him, Father, here I am, use me however you will in that. And so notice that he says bodies, present your bodies. He's talking to the church as a living sacrifice. Bodies is plural, but sacrifice is singular. And so he's talking about the church as a whole, that we to present ourselves in that. Of course, the church is made up of its individuals, and so we must also do it individually, right? Present ourselves to God. But we must also, as a church, collectively present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Even as a church, we must say, God, here we are. Use us however you will. Instead of, hey, God, we're your church here, but this is what we're going to do. We really don't want to do this over here, right? If we say that, we're not really devoting ourselves to God, are we? And so we must devote ourselves, present ourselves to God if we're to serve one another in that. And so when we present ourselves to God to serve him, it is demonstrated then, it will be demonstrated in our service to one another, because that's what God calls us to do, to serve one another. Are we willing? Ask yourself this question. Are you willing to go and do whatever God calls you to do? Whether it's uncomfortable, whether it's inconvenient, whether it's time-consuming. We are God's, right? And we serve God at his pleasure for whatever he'd want us to do. And so Paul calls us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. For this is our spiritual act of worship, our reasonable service. Secondly, not only must we first present ourselves to God, but we must think rightly about our role in the body of Christ. That if we're to be devoted to serving one another, we must think rightly about our role in the body of Christ. You see, at the heart of being devoted to one another, to serving one another in the family of God, is right thinking about ourselves and about the body of Christ. We must think rightly about ourselves in the body of Christ. And so how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, Paul tells us here in verses 2 through 5, first in verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And so the first thing we see here, he says, if we're to think rightly about our role in the body of Christ, that we must first have our minds renewed by the Word of God. We must first have our minds renewed by the Word of God in that. And so we must not be conformed to this world, but have our minds renewed by the Word of God. And so he says, don't allow yourself to be conformed to the world's way of thinking. If we're to renew our minds, we must start by not allowing ourselves, our minds, to be conformed to the world's way of thinking. And there's many ways we allow this, both individually and in the church, that we start to think like the world does. The world looks for a position, right? The world looks for influence. And so you read these books, and it talks about service and leadership from the world's perspective. And it says, look for a way that you can influence the most people. Is that the way of God? And so we got to be careful. We're not allowing our thinking to be conformed to the way of the world, whether it be serving one another or loving God. And we must not be squeezed into the world's way of thinking. We must be open to God's word and his way of thinking. And the only way to do that is to allow your mind to be renewed by his word. God does that through his word, that he takes his word and the Spirit sanctifies us through his word. He changes our way of thinking and no longer being conformed to the way of this world. The word of God transforms our thinking about who we are and about God and about one another. And so we must allow God to renew our minds by his word. That means when we come to church and we hear the preaching, we must not turn our ears off, all right, and say, "Oh, okay, I think I can make it through this 45 minutes of preaching, and stuff." But rather, you come ready to hear the Word of God, to receive the Word of God, and to obey the Word of God. And that's how God transforms our minds in that. And so allow God to renew your mind. Be in his Word, listen to his Word, and obey his Word in that. And that leads to the third thing, that when you do that, Paul says that you'll be able to discern what the will of God is. That you'll know what God wants you to do. That when your thinking is renewed, when your mind is renewed, you'll be able to discern that this is the word of God and that isn't the will of God. That this is something I should do and this is something I should never do. This is how I should treat people, and this is how I shouldn't treat people. This is what the Word of God does for us as our minds are renewed, that we're able to discern the will of God in that. And we know that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect, isn't it? And so we know that the Word of God is good for us, that it's acceptable, and it's perfect, because it's perfect because it's the will of God in that. And so he says, allow your minds to be renewed by the Word of God. And so Paul here, goes on. He goes on in verse 3, having your minds renewed. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. So, and next he tells us that having our minds renewed, that we must not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That we not must not think like James and John. We must not think, hey, I deserve to sit on his left hand and his right hand. That I am somebody in that. And so one of the dangers in the church or in any area of life is that when you serve in very visible positions of service, that you often get a lot of praise heaped upon you, don't you? Sometimes you don't get praise, but often you get a lot of praise heaped upon you. And what happens is that praise can go to your head, right? You see that with celebrities. There are people always praising them, telling them they're special, and they get these big heads. But that can happen in the church. That can happen as a Christian, that we can get these big heads and get prideful about who we are. And Paul here is saying, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Don't think pridefully like you are someone or something, like you deserve a position at the left side or right side of Jesus. And so if we're to serve others, if we're to be devoted to serving one another, we must not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We ought to think rightly about who we are. And we, who are we? We are sinners saved by grace, aren't we? We're sinners saved by grace. That's who we are. And so Paul says, don't think more highly than you ought to think. So let me ask you a question. Do you care about whether others notice or not if you're serving? Do you care about whether you gain a position in the church or not? Are you thinking rightly about yourself and not thinking highly of yourself? Are you wondering what will capture people's attention about who you are instead of being interested and paying attention to who they are and what they need? You see, that's the thing. We must not think more highly of ourselves, because if we do, it will keep us from serving one another. Instead, we will look for people to serve us, won't we? But he says here, think with sober judgment. He says, think, instead of thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, he says, think with sober judgment. Basically, he says, think with sound thinking. Remember that you are a sinner saved by grace. Remember, it is all based on the mercies of God and nothing you have done. And so he says, think with sober judgment. Remember what God has done for you. Remember who you are. Then he says, to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. God has given each of us a different measure of faith. We've all received different grace, a different amount of grace from God. All of us have received the same grace in salvation, haven't we? But the Spirit goes on to pour out more grace, and we've received different amounts of grace and faith, and to some he gives more, to others less, and that doesn't make one better than the other, because God gives grace to one person more than he gives the other. God does so because he has different functions or reasons for doing so, and so if a Christian, if any one of us gets a big head because God has given us abundance of grace, then we've forgotten that it's not about us. We've started to believe that we are something when we are nothing, that it's all grace. And so we must remember where we have come from and what God has done and who we are. We must think rightly about who we are. You see, a prideful view of yourself is not compatible with the Christian life in general, but it's certainly not compatible with devoting yourself to God and to serving others. So how do you become devoted to serving others then? How do you become devoted to serving one another in the body of Christ? Well, one, recognize other members' needs in the family of God without worrying if your needs will be recognized and rewarded. If you're going to not think highly of yourself, you must recognize other members' needs in the family of God without worrying about whether you're going to get a position on the left hand or the right. You see, none of us are God's gift to humanity, right? And so we must be willing to recognize other members' needs ahead of ours. Second, now I didn't say forget our needs, right? Because Philippians told us, look out not only for the interests of others, but also for your own interests. Secondly, be willing to help others when they're inconvenienced by life and circumstances. Be willing to help others when they are inconvenienced by life and circumstances. And the negative of that is don't calculate whether it's going to be convenient for you or cost you something, or whether you might be inconvenienced by this, right? If God has called you to serve people, then you're never inconvenienced by it, because that is what He's called you to do. So be willing to help others even when they are inconvenienced by life, or if it even might cost you something. Thirdly, serve as a matter of character, because it is the nature of what it means to be a member of the household of God. You see, it's not optional for a member of a church, or it's not just for the special few in the church, that all of us are called to serve one another. You see, to be a Christian is to belong to a local body, to the family of God, and where you're not only a member with privileges, but a member with responsibilities. But beyond the responsibilities, where you delight in and are eager and willing to serve one another in a myriad of different ways. And so, this is a mindset. This is the mindset that you should have. But not only should we not think more highly of ourselves, we must think rightly about the body of Christ. We must think rightly about the body of Christ. In verses 4 through 5, Paul says, he says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, are in one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And so we must not only think rightly about ourselves, we must think rightly about the body of Christ. And so the first thing we see that in the body of Christ and the family of God, we do not all have the same function. We do not all have the same role. And Paul makes this not only clear here, but also in other of his letters, like Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, where he says that God, he's talking about Christ, that God in Christ, he gave to the church, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be shepherds and teachers. And why did he give these different functions and these different roles? He gave them so that they might equip the saints. He gave it so that they, for the building up of the body of Christ, where all of us speak the truth in love to one another, so that we might become mature or full in Jesus Christ. And so we all don't have the same function in the body of Christ. We must think rightly of ourselves and in the body of Christ, in the fact that God has called you to a particular thing or function, maybe, or a gifting in that. And so we don't all have the same function. Some of us are called to preach. Some of us are called to play the piano and play it really well. And some of us are called to lead singing. Some of us are called to teach Sunday school. Some of us have a different function. Some of us do sound and audio in that. And so we have different functions. We have different gifts. And we have all of them are for the building up of the body of Christ, that we might reach maturity in Jesus Christ. And so they're not given for ourselves, but for the body. And so the second thing we see about, we must think rightly about the body of Christ, is though we have different functions, we're still one body in Christ. We're still unified. We're still a whole. Anything we have or do is for the body, for our unity in Jesus Christ. And so despite the differences, we're still one body in Christ. We're unified through the Spirit because of the person and work of Jesus Christ in that. And thirdly, we see here, Paul says we are individually members of one another. Individually members of one another. Now, what does that mean? That means simply that we belong to one another and we have a responsibility to one another. Think about the human body, right? That you have different members and all of your members don't have the same function. Your arm doesn't do the same thing as your leg does it? But it's still part of a unified whole, isn't it? And so they belong to one another, that you need both your arm and your leg, don't you, to function correctly. You can get by without an arm and a leg, but your body wouldn't be whole, would it? And so you need your arm and your leg to function correctly. And so you belong to one another and you have a responsibility toward one another. And so here's the bottom line, that each of us as members of the body of Christ, of this body here at North Stafford Baptist Church, we exist to serve the body as a whole. And yes, we serve individual members as each has need, but we serve the body as a whole, just like the physical body. And so we serve in order that the body as a whole, the church here at North Stafford Baptist Church, can be healthy, can be mature, can grow in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we must think rightly about the body of Christ. That means the church here at North Stafford Baptist Church, the church here, doesn't exist for you, does it? And it means too that Walter and Royce and Darren are not the head of the church, the body, are they? That Christ is. Thank goodness. And so it means we understand that we've come together to help one another grow in maturity in Jesus Christ. That's why we come together, because we are in Jesus Christ. And so we'll never be devoted to serving one another if we have a wrong view of ourselves and of the church, the body of Christ. Thirdly, then, we must devote ourselves to God daily. We must have a right view of our role in the body of Christ. But thirdly, we must serve because of the grace given to us in Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says here in verse 6. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if in prophecy, in proportion to our faith. And so the key word I want you to see here is let us use them. That kind of reminds you of a slogan one of our companies have, right? Just do it. And so Paul's saying, you have this grace, you have this measure of faith that God has given us, every one of us. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace, meaning you have them. He says, use them. Use them to serve selflessly in the same way that Christ served us. And so the first thing we're going to see here is that we are to serve selflessly with the gifts that God has given us. God has given through the Spirit each one of us gifts. He's given us grace in order to serve one another. And so Paul gives us a list here in verses 6 through 8. And this list here that he gives us is not exhaustive. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a broad list. What he's trying to get at. He's saying, here's some gifts. God has given us each gifts, and here's the key thing. Use them. Use it. If you teach, teach. If he's given you the gift of exhortation, he says, go exhort people. If he's given you the gift of admonishment, go admonish people, just knowing that it won't be received very well. But if he's given you the gift of leadership, then lead with zeal. Don't be timid about leadership if that's what God has given you in that. If mercy, then go do it with cheerfulness. And so Paul is saying, use these gifts. Use the gifts, serve selfishly with the gifts that God has given you. That's why he's given to you. He's not given it to you to put it in your pocket and save it for a rainy day, right? But he's given you these gifts, these grace gifts through the Spirit, that you might serve the body, so that we might be built up into maturity into Jesus Christ in them. And so there's a role, I want to say that again, there's a place, there's a role for everyone here to help one another serve, to follow Jesus Christ, to serve one another. There's a role for everyone. And so whether you're small or whether you're young or whether you're old, there's a role for you in that. And so let me speak to our older members for a moment, our senior saints. I'm not sure I like that term, but that's the term I heard. And so let me speak to you for a moment, that sometimes older people think that they can't serve the church because of age or health or whatever it may be. But I want you to know that here at North Stafford Baptist Church, that you can be just as involved, engaged in service as younger members who might be more active and healthy and fit. Now, your service is going to look vastly different than the active and healthy and fit people, right? But there's a role for you. There's a place for you to serve. And you can do it through prayer, because prayer is a great way to serve the body of Christ, isn't it? In fact, that's a primary way that we serve one another in the body of Christ. We pray for one another. You can do it through a listening ear, an open heart, one-on-one discipleship, notes of encouragement, or text, I guess is the modern thing, text of encouragement, or a phone call, and so on. That there's just many different ways that you can serve one another here in the body of Christ. It doesn't mean you got to show up on Saturday and mow the yard if you can't. That's not the only way to serve one another, is it? Prayer is encouragement. Cookies. But that's really not helping me mature in Christ necessarily. Just be satisfied physically. But there are different ways we can do that. And so we serve selfishly with the gifts that God has given you. Secondly, serve selfishly in the grace that God has given you. Listen, he says here, he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace. And what I mean by that is that we shouldn't try to serve one another out of our own strength and wisdom and motivation. We serve out of the grace that God has given us, right? We serve out of the mercy that he has shown us in Jesus Christ. That God has given each of us grace to serve in different amounts. And so we want to serve each other out of the grace of God. Why? Because our selfless service is most authentic when it's motivated by the mercies of God, isn't it? And not our own selfish desires. Sometimes people do things for others because they want something in return, right? But we should do it. We should be motivated out of the mercies of God, out of the grace that he has and love that he has shown us. And so. Secondly, it's most effective, our selfless service is most effective when we rely on the grace of God and not our own strength or wisdom. And so when we serve one another out of the power of the Holy Spirit, not out of our flesh, guess what? God can do wonderful things in that. And so he can turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, can he? And so we want to do it out of the power of the Spirit, out of the grace of God. And lastly here, that selfless service is antithetical because it's not the way of the world. Meaning, if you don't want to be conformed to the world, then serve selflessly, right? Because the world doesn't serve selflessly. They all serve for themselves. People don't give away large sums of money to build a hospital wing and then say, don't name it after me. They always want it named after them, don't they? And so selfless service is antithetical to the way of the world. And so if you don't want to be conformed to the world, serve selfishly. And we serve because of Jesus, not only because of his command, he's commanded us to serve, but more so because of his example, and even more so because of the grace that he has shown us by adopting us into the family of God, by making us a joint heir with Christ, who is our elder brother. And so let us serve in the grace that God has given us in that. Now, anyone who wants to be part of a church but doesn't want to serve members of the church, let me just be frank here, probably shouldn't be a member of that church, or at least may need to examine themselves to see why they don't want to serve other members of the church. And I don't say this lightly. You see, the implication of being a member of a church, of being a body of Christ, is that you are committing yourself. You're committing yourself not only to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you're committing to serve members of that community. That's what it means to be a member of a church. You're committing to serve God, but you're committing to serve members of that church. And you're committing to serve each of us in three ways. First, you're committing to serve one another by never neglecting worship and fellowship, except on those occasions when you're hindered by God's providence, i.e. you're sick, you're out of town, you got to work. And so you're committed to serve one another by never neglecting worship and fellowship when we come together as a church to worship God. Secondly, you're committed to pray both individually and corporately for one another in the advancement of God's kingdom and the proclamation of the gospel. That's why I keep saying you want to serve. If you're laid out in the hospital for 30 days because your back went out, you can still serve others in the church, right, by praying for them. And so that's a basic way that we serve one another. Thirdly, that we commit to serve fellow members and to serve with them by employing the gifts God has given us for their blessing and for the sake of others to build up the body of Christ and demonstrate Christ's love to a watching world, which is what Paul has been talking about here in Romans chapter 12, that God has given us gifts and we're to use them to serve one another. So how do you find your place then? Let me end here. I'll wrap up the sermon by how do you find your place here at North Stafford Baptist Church to serve one another? Our challenge here at North Stafford Baptist Church is look around. We're a small church, aren't we? Half of our members today are sick, and so they're not here. And not half, but a good portion of them. And so we're a small church. We're limited in time and resources and other things. And we don't have a lot of activities, and so, which is okay, because service in the body of Christ is ultimately about people and not tasks. Now, tasks are important, aren't they? Tasks have to be completed, don't they? You know, someone has to show up and do some of these things. But it's ultimately not about tasks. It's about people in that. And so how do you find your place to serve here at North Stafford Baptist Church? Well, I'm going to leave you with three things. That's kind of been the pattern. Three things in that. First, be willing to do anything that needs to be done for others and for the body of Christ. Be willing to do anything that needs to be done, anything that's in your ability to do in that for others and for the church. Jesus talks about this, doesn't he, in Luke chapter 16, verse 20, where he says there, He says that if you want to be faithful in great things, you must what? First prove yourself faithful in little things. Now, he says it differently, but that's basically what he says, that you must be faithful in the least in order to be given opportunity to be faithful in greater things in that. And so how are you faithful in the least? By showing up, by to be willing to do anything that needs to be done for others and for the church. You see, a lot of people come to church and they want to join the church and be members. And right away they say, hey, I'd like to serve in this position. Instead of just showing up and say, what do you need me to do? What do you need me to do, right? And so when I was, I shared earlier about being a member of the Baptist Student Union, and so the first time I went over to the Baptist Student Union, they were holding a beginning of the year welcome and event, and so I went to it, and they held it outside on a stage and everything, and I went through the whole thing, and they got done, and they started cleaning up. I wasn't a member of this organization. I thought, well, this was kind of fun. I kind of want to meet people. I just started help cleaning up, right? Now, I wasn't a Christian very long, so I can't say I was being spiritual or mature. I just didn't know any better. But I thought, I just showed up and I started cleaning up. And that's what we need. We just need people willing to serve and doing what needs to be done in that. And so be faithful in the least in order that you might be faithful in great. And so what is least in the church? What is least in the church then? You know, the most faithful thing you can do in the church to serve one another is what you're doing right now. It's showing up on a Sunday morning and worshiping together our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so if you're faithful in that, you're being faithful to serve one another. By attending church regularly, you're serving one another by being here today. And so maybe you're asking the question, how? How am I serving others by sitting in this chair and worshiping God? Because it's an encouragement to one another to see you, isn't it? I'm encouraged by the fact that John came, even though we know he's sore today. And so that's encouraging. John is serving us. He's encouraging us that despite what he went through this week, he's here at church worshiping God. And so just showing up at the church, you can serve one another. Secondly, then, after you're willing to do anything that needs to be done, seek to develop the graces that are essential to exercising your gifts for others. Now, what does that mean? Seek to develop the graces that are essential in exercising your gifts to others. In other words, I'm going to make this simple. Seek to be a servant that just wants to serve with the right heart and attitude like Christ Jesus. And so what are those graces? When we talk about graces that are essential to exercising your gifts, humility, right, is essential. Forgiveness, love, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things. And in fact, all the gifts of the Spirit require growth in all the fruit of the Spirit. Otherwise, we're going to grieve the Spirit, as one person said. I'll say that again. All the gifts of the Spirit, that's the gifts that God has given that Paul mentions here in chapter 12, he says, require growth in all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Otherwise, we grieve the Spirit. Now, how do we do that? Well, if you show up prideful to serve and make it all about you, then you're not really serving others, right? Instead, you're grieving the Spirit. You're not developing the graces that are essential to serve exercising your gifts for others. Thirdly, don't wait for an opportunity to serve. Take the opportunity to serve. You know, some people come and they wait for a call, right? We need Here's the call most churches make, because all churches have this problem. We need more workers in children's ministry, right? And people wait for the call. And some respond and some don't. And I'm saying to you, don't wait for the opportunity to serve, to hear that. Take the opportunity to serve. When you see a need and you see an opportunity, take the opportunity. You don't need to come to the pastor and elders and said, hey, I want to help so-and-so in the church. You've already got permission, don't you? The Word of God here says, serve. Use your gifts. And so, hey, Elder Walter, I want to start a ministry of encouragement. Do it. Go out and encourage. Write notes of encouragement. Make phone calls. Do it. And so don't wait for the opportunity. Don't wait for a ministry to be formed or something to happen. Take the opportunity to serve. That's what Paul says here. He says, let us use them. Let us serve. It's by serving, by doing whatever needs to be done, that space is actually created for the exercise of the gifts that God has given you for the church family. And this space that is created comes because you're willing to serve and you take the opportunities to serve in that. And so you sense, if you sense a concern or you have a concern to serve others and you have a desire to do it in a particular way, don't come ask me. Just do it. Serve. If you are experiencing the encouragement of others and they're telling you that, hey, we think you'd be good at this, then do it. That may be God speaking to you, saying, hey, you should do this for the body of Christ. Serve in that. And you'll find that other avenues for service will open up as you continue to serve. And so Paul says, let us use them. Let us serve. Let us do this. See, that's the bottom line, that if we're to be devoted to one another, that we just must serve. Because the need is there, isn't it? There's never a lack of need for us to serve one another in the body of Christ. It won't go away. It's there. It's like God's mercies. Our need is renewed day after day. And so let us just serve. Let us serve one another because Christ served us. That he willingly, selflessly, sacrificially left his throne in heaven, became a man, and went to the cross and died for us, that we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And so as Christ has served us, let us serve one another. Let us pray. Father, we do praise you and we thank you for not only the example that Christ has given us, but the grace you have poured out in our lives through him, that we might serve one another, that, Father, we might demonstrate the love and mercy and grace that you have given us to those around us, that, Father, that we might do what needs to be done to help one another follow Christ. That we might do what needs to be done to build one another up in Father, give us a heart to serve one another. Help us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. To think that we deserve this or that position. But rather, Father, to be willing to do, to even wash one another's feet if necessary, to walk in humility, to walk in forgiveness, to walk in those graces that you have poured out in our lives through your Spirit. And so, Father, humble us, that we might serve one another. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.